Blog Talk Radio.
Free, free from my past, free from the pain, free from the guilt that would cause me to be ashamed. Once I was blind, but now I see clearly the death that I owe. Jesus paid for me. No more chains are binding me. I'm totally free. Even my human desire to crucify my soul could not outweigh another. The fact that you made me whole. Time after time I remind myself that your mercies is beyond new. Help me, oh Lord, to establish and know that at Calvary I was redeemed. You set me free, free from my past, from the pain, free from the guilt that would cause me to be ashamed. Once I was blind, but now I see clearly the debt that I owe. Jesus paid for me. No more chains are binding. Because of Jesus. Ooh. Even though I was a sinner, you commended your grace and your love for me. Saved me from death and destruction, gave me life eternally. Not after my sins have you dealt with me, Lord. I'm so grateful for all you do. Iniquity doesn't dictate my reward. You still love me and tell me that I am your own. I'm free, free from my
I'm
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for our freedom. We rejoice in the price that was paid for us so that we might be free. We thank God, our Father, and we thank you for joining us on our Friday Fellowship of Learners, Words from the Word. It is with great joy I come and share with you on Friday mornings some truths from the Word of God that transform our life. We have been laboring with joy in the book, The Sevenfold Spirit of God by Keith Miller. We are now in the last offering of the book, and it's bitter, but it's sweet. I'm sad that it's over. It was so full of rich revelation and truth. It was full of illumination and the keys to our successful journey in Christ, keys to our hope, the hope of glory that is in us, keys to our rejoicing and a life lived based on the strength and power of Holy Spirit, and then understanding what that looks like lived out. And so we've gone through the seven rivers that are released in perfection through the intimate relationship the Holy Spirit establishes in our life to God, the Father of the universe, releasing to us all of heaven's resources in a dimension and understanding of the reality of it being even more real than the things you can reach out and touch, whether it's your computer, your phone, or your book, or your desk. But the truth of God, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, of the power of the Holy Spirit being released in the church, in this church age today, is more real and more powerful. Some of those rockets they were sending in Israel and Palestine back and forth. And it is a truth that will destroy the enemy and bring light to those that are captive by the philosophies and the traditions of the world. And so when we enter this last chapter, seven spirits rejoice, I think it is so profound that this last chapter is also coming to us at a time where we're preparing for Pentecost. We're preparing for Pentecost this Sunday. And we are rejoicing and celebrating the power, which is Holy Spirit. And we have to anticipate, and now we're able to do it with a truth that's been revealed to us through the studying of the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we can get excited about celebrating the power, because now we have a deeper understanding. We have a revelation knowledge of the person of the Holy Spirit and his ministry and the sevenfold nature and function that he releases in the earth realm, and not just in the earth realm, what he releases it through us in the earth realm. And so it through us, then it flows abroad to all those around us. So this is a powerful time of rejoicing. So when this book culminates with this seven spirits rejoice, let our souls leap. Let us leap with a joy of rejoicing, because this power has been given to us through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood. It's released to us, and we can now understand the limits limitlessness of it. It has no limit. It has no beginning and end. It is eternal, and it is the power that is available to us as we go forth to bring glory to the kingdom of our God. And so we've looked at a lot of the aspects of where our mindset needs to transform, where we are in awe of Him, where we have a reverence, fear of Him, where we have this desire, this holy desire for an intimacy with Him like never before, where we're no longer satisfied with the mundane. And I won't even say the mundane. We're not satisfied with the old oil. We're not satisfied with the old wineskin. We want a fresh release of the flow of the Holy Spirit every day. One of the things the author says is you can't expect a lamp to continue to burn on an oil yesterday's oil. It's just like that manna. You can't save the manna from one day to the next unless it is the Sabbath day. But you need that fresh manna, because if you don't have it, then it says you collect, store it. That manna would go bad. Worms would be filled with it. And I often think of worms as what we are. Flesh will start intermixing with the truth of God. And so we need a fresh oil so that we can have the revelation of the seven lamps that illuminate our soul, so that our eyes have an understanding of the hope of our glory. And so the author starts with the fact that the kingdom of God has come on earth, and we've said it because we've learned it. Even as children, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And when they started this journey, we often felt that this was those that were called to greater work, were those leaders that were about before us. It was those people that had gone to seminary or been preaching, you know, for the years and years, and they had this special anointing, and we rejoiced in sitting under it and learning. But we're finding out, no, this call is for us all to come hither, to come up close to Him. And so we often thought before, as long as I do those things in the Word, and I can live my life and make my choices, and that's when we were rejoicing in our salvation, in our redemption. But now we're at a place where, because of our salvation and our redemption, we are getting a divine nature imparted into us. And so we're realizing we have a destiny. We have a work that is assigned to us. It's no longer our will, but it's His will be done, because He is the great designer of the blueprint for us all. And so now we realize we have a chosen path to take. He chose us, and He has anointed us and ordained us to walk a certain path that would create His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We can't do it as it is in heaven because we don't know what heaven is like. So the only way we're able to accomplish this mission, the only way we are able to go forth in our destiny, is if we have a guide. And Christ said, when I leave, I will send someone. And that is the person of the Holy Spirit. He is our guide, our teacher. He is the one to correct that which is wrong. He will bring the truth to life. He will bring the revelation to us so we can understand how to walk with this divine nature, and then walk into this divine nature, and then become the divine nature released in the earth realm. And so thy kingdom come, God encompasses everything. When He says His kingdom, He just doesn't mean His rule and His reign. His kingdom are all the kingdoms that He created, the kingdom of the animals, the birds, the ants, the trees, the physics, the science, the astrology, I mean, there are so many kingdoms that God has created, and he said his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. It will be ruled and reigned by him and through us believers who live according to the divine nature that he releases in us through the Holy Spirit. It says, thy will be done on earth. To know his will, we must know him. To know his will, we must be able to recognize him. To know his will, we must be able to hear him and learn to hear him. It says the whole purpose of his kingdom coming is to grow. It is to grow. And though for the king, his kingdom to come and for us to desire, that is our goal, to grow it, not move memberships around, but to build and grow the church in number, just as on the day of Pentecost and after the preaching and went forth and how the church increased in number over 5,000 people. When we enter into his kingdom, we enter into his way of doing things. We enter into his mindset. We enter into his plumb line. We enter into his standard. We enter into his hour and into his strength. And then the basic and the main function or the power behind it, the motivation behind this is his love. It is his love. This is our destiny in him, and it is our mandate to release the fact that love covers hate, to conquer hate, the fact that good will conquer evil. And we have to believe it if we are releasing. And that belief comes with this intimate position that he is calling us to near him. Then we understand just who he is and the power that he possesses and the fact that he does not fail. As we grow in the things of the Lord, and one of the things the prophet said was for the class of 2021 is to pursue with a passion, to pursue with a passion. And that's what this last chapter is explaining and presenting to us as well, this pursuit of God with a passion, pursuing our destiny. The revelation becomes deeper and broader and clearer as it processes, as it progresses. It becomes clearer because the Holy Spirit brings illumination through the sevenfold function of his ministry in our life. In 1 Corinthians 13, says we only see in part, but the Holy Spirit is constantly teaching about the deep things of God, the mysteries of the kingdom, to those who hunger and thirst, who seek and pursue after it. The Lord intends his church, his sons and daughters, to walk in his fullness, not in our limited resources, not in our strength, not in our knowledge, not in our wisdom, but in the wisdom of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, the understanding and the counsel of the Lord. That's how we must walk in everything we do, in every kingdom that we are every place that we will go, wherever our destiny leads us, this is what should go before us, in us, and follow after us. It means becoming a partaker of the things of Jesus Christ. We must have him, the starting of the ministry of the sevenfold Holy Spirit is having the Spirit of the Lord upon us. And so the author goes on to share that we are given this so that we can do God's work. We are to seek first the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says all these things will be added unto us. And so I stopped there and I said, all our needs. And what are our needs? And sometimes we think of them as the natural things of food and shelter and clothing and breath and health. But our needs also include, we need wisdom. We need understanding. We need counsel in order to function every minute of every day. And he says, if you look to me first, then all the things you need to answer, what should I wear today, or how should I address the problem, or how do I raise my kids, or what's wrong with the world today, what do I need to do, you will know, because he says these needs will be met because we have looked to him. And when we look to him, he is showing us he has an answer for those things. It isn't oftentimes the answer that we would come up with or we would think or even want to do. But the Holy Spirit tells us that we have to walk in the fear of the Lord. In other words, reverencing him more than we fear what we think or what we know or what we perceive might happen. But when we walk in the fear of the Lord, because we've learned that he is a desire, he is deserving of our reverence and of our respect and of our obedience. And then because we fear or we reverence him, this is what we will pursue after, his way, no matter what. As Christ said, not my will, but your will be done. Our role as overcomers and fulfillers of his divine destiny is the work, which is the work of the Father. Our destiny is to do the will of the Father, just as Christ shared with us. It must consume us and become the reason we exist. We wake up, we breathe, so that we can pursue the work of the Father, the destiny in our life, not just the destiny to preach, but the destiny to walk and to talk and to the destiny to be, the destiny to interact with other individuals, interact with the world, interact with the influence that we have upon the places that he sends us. Jesus is staking a claim on our entire life, not withholding the lives from Monday to Saturday, but he is staking a claim on all of our lives. You know, and no one area, any area, part of it is to be removed from him or to be engaged in without putting him first. We must yearn to know him in everything we do, yearn to see him in the places and the things that we do, think, and feel. We must draw close to him to learn the deep things of the deep things of God, not ever being satisfied with where we are, but knowing there's a even closer place to be with the Lord in intimacy. And so God's goal for us, the author shares, are threefold. It's the first is intimate fellowship with him. And then the second is to be completely one with him. And then the third is to become like Jesus. And that completely one with him, when the author shared his vision where he was standing and Christ came and he went inside of him, literally walking into him, and he shared about that union, becoming one with him, a union of intimacy so deep that the two are one, which is what Christ shared continuously in his ministry, that he and the Father were one, and it is his prayer that we be one just as they are one. And so God has a goal for us, and that needs to be the goal that stands in front of our a mind. That has to be what should lead and guide all the things that we pursue and we prefer and we desire. We have to be complete in completely one in him. And in that completeness being brought about from him. And I believe that's part of one of the foundational tools we needed to proceed in this season was the search for significance, so that many of the areas of healing and the areas of revelation and clarity we received when we studied and gave earnestly to the study of the search for significance, which is really a search for our destiny. What? Why am I here? And this is what God is telling you. You are here to bring glory to me. You are here to release me in the earth realm. And we can't release him in the earth realm if we are still nurturing ourselves in the realm of the physical, and not, just as the Bible says, crucify ourselves daily so that he can be released. And so that search for significance gives us also a confidence in knowing we are who he says we are, and knowing why, because he created us. And then this book shares with us that in that creation of us, he had a distinct purpose, and he had a plan, and he established all the help we needed in order to fulfill his plan or his destiny for our life. But it has to be on his terms. And so he started to release his terms to us through the Holy Spirit and the sevenfold ministry function of the Holy Spirit. And one of his terms is divine wisdom, and to set aside the natural wisdom and first reach and desire the wisdom that comes only from the Lord, only from heaven, only from the God of all wisdom. And so what he requires of us has to come to us through the Holy Spirit in order for us to walk in the way that he wants us to walk. And this comes in an intimacy. It's not a visit and go away and a visit and come back, but it comes from dwelling in his presence. God placed a desire and a passion in our hearts to do the things he calls us to do. It's not going to come natural to us, because the natural is physical, but it will be the spiritual power given us through the Holy Spirit and God, because his will is that we do his will. And our prayer, and it's always been my prayer since one of the other books, is like, I will, Lord, that you make me willing. Because if God does not make us women willing, we can't do it on our own. We can't be self-improved. This has to be a self-sacrifice and a self-total, absolute surrender so that his will be done. And so guard and treasure that intimacy that we have, because we will not be successful without. We will not be able to do the things we were created to do without dwelling in his presence. And we have to honor that. We have to treasure his presence and his power always. Not sometimes, but always. The revealing of the Holy Spirit will release the sevenfold blessing to help us fulfill our destiny and carry out God's plan for our life. We can't do it on our own. The Bible says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called. And then he goes to explain call means, which I thought was really interesting. I got another revelation of clarity about call. I called them unto myself, himself. First, to a love relationship with him, and next to where his presence and his power will be at work. And so when I heard it, you know, when I read that, he calls us to him, I was reminded of as a child, and our parents would call to us They called for wherever we were. They would, my mother would holler your name, and you would hear her call. You recognized her voice, and you knew that you were going to respond. And that response came because of a relationship you had with her or whoever. And so when you're called by him, having the vision of the Lord God in glory, calling out through, eternity, my name, Paulette, call and to hear him say, and someone say your name, it gets your attention. It causes you to stop. And when he called us, that's what he did. He got our attention, and it caused us to stop in our tracks and to listen to what he was saying, to seek to understand what he was saying so that we could then perform it, because that would be the desire of our heart because of the relationship, that love relationship we would have to those individuals about us. And by the same token, someone else can call you whose voice you don't recognize, or you do, and you know it not to be a good positive, and it would be a warning to you to go another way. And that's the way it is as we walk in this journey. We thank God that we only need to respond in faith and obedience. And the obedience, and we always say, I'm going to obey. But the first thing Christ did was he was faithful. And because he was faithful, he obeyed. Because he was faithful to the truth of the relationship he had with God, just like with the man and woman. When you love someone in marriage and you become faithful to them because of that love, then you obey what was established between you in your vows. It is a motivating power. Faith is a motivating power that we are given, and we don't even come with it. He says he gives us a measure of faith. So he even jumpstarts us in that which we need in order to obey. And as we did in the beginning, that faith he gave us, that measure of faith, and it caused us to stop when he called us, and we turned and we accepted the invitation to salvation, and we became obedient unto that. Now in this level where we're getting the divine nature imparted into us, we have to build on that faith so that we can be obedient to the divine nature. Be obedient. That will provide, and knowing he will provide the power, and then it is through the sevenfold function of the Holy Spirit we will be able to get, as the author says, to get the job done. And a great example was Moses. And so the author goes on to the fire of his love. The greatest and deepest place of ministry comes from being rooted and grounded in the motivation of love of Jesus that burns like fire in your bones. It is a passionate love. It is not a passing love or a shallow love. I think it was you, Apostle KP, said that the Lord said you were lukewarm. That's not a passionate, on fire love. The fire of his love is what he wants to kindle in our spirit, because he knows that will motivate us. That will motivate us to burn like Christ, to burn in the earth realm without unmatching or giving up or when we burn with that kind of passionate love, you can walk just like a parent who has this love for this child. you can, if that child is in danger or whatever, you will do miraculous things, and then when you look back on it, you go, wow, I did that? It's like you become empowered to accomplish a goal, and nothing can get in your way that will stop you, nothing. And that's how he wants us to view this relationship we have with him, because he's empowering us in such a way that nothing can get in our way, stop, slow down, nor defeat us. We will accomplish what he set out for us to do and the destiny that he has written for us and for our life. This is the most important reason for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is so that we can comprehend and know his great love. Because when we come to the table, we don't know love like God loves. And after we've been at the table a while, we still don't know love like God loves. But as we sit at the table, then we will become love like God is, because that association, that closeness, will bring about the birthing of real love. It will flash the light on that love that isn't a godly love. And we will understand, oh, it's a love that's a godly love that has put limits, or think it has, it can stop and go. But a love that is without limit, without ever ceasing, it is eternal. And when we comprehend that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then we will overflow with the fullness of his love. Wherever we go, people will know. They will know God because we are reflecting him, and he is love. This is the seven lamps of fire, signify many things, but it highlights that the heaven is supplied by pure oil so that the flame will burn. As long as there is a fresh supply of oil, the lamp will burn brightly. Jesus said that we are the light of the world, the brilliancy of his glory that will shine brightly in the midst of darkness. He had a daily tap into the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to keep the seven flames burning. So we have to keep it burning by our close association and proximity to it, and our faithfulness to it, and then our obedience to it. And as we do that fresh every day, so it really diminishes the fact that I can read my Bible every now and then, or once a week, or twice a week, or I'll just pray on Wednesdays. But it has to be a daily. Otherwise, then it is not a fresh anointing of oil. It is not a fresh source of the light that you need to shine, the light that you need to shine in that place that he's going to take you to that day, that moment. This fresh oil, not yesterday's oil, some oil what he uses for so long, it then produces a smoke, and rather than illuminate, it may illuminate, but it also emits a cloud, a smoke, something that distorts the actual light that's being admitted, that's being released. And not only that, but the smoke will burn your eyes. So in other words, your eyes will not be enlightened, but rather they'll be polluted, okay, by a yesterday oil that is not sufficient for today's journey. And that's how we can get to a certain place of being complacent, or, you know, I'm just content with what he did, and our testimony, you know, it becomes a year old, or 2 years old, 3 years old, sometimes 10 year old, and 50 years old. There's no new testimony. There's no new revelation, because we haven't sought that fresh oil every day. We can't seek that fresh oil every day and not get a revelation and a newness about who God is, a revelation of wonder, because he has so many attributes that a lifetime could not even reveal them all to us. So every day we each have to be gleaning a new thing about God and not just so much resting in the things that we already know. But no, that is only the foundation for what is yet to come. And then he talks about the baptism of fire. And as I said, such a perfect time, this time of preparation for the Pentecost, but the baptism of fire. And it says when he enters, when we enter into the rest, and that rest is make your flesh rest, no longer upset by the lust of the flesh, no longer pulled away by the distractions of the world, but resting in him, because you know it's a place of confidence, a place of peace, a place of power, a place that cannot be touched by anything on the earth. And he says that when you're in me, it can't come by you. He said it, and it really is true. And we need the revelation of how powerful that truth is. It cannot come nigh me. But he said, unto those that believe. You got to believe that it really can't come nigh unto you. No thing in any kingdom can come nigh you, because God said it. And so that place of intimacy where you come to know just how and who he is, or you're coming in to know how powerful and how true he is, that it becomes mind-blowing to even think of anything that is not in his will. You reject it. That's how you resist the devil. Oh, I don't want that. No. It is not something you even want to touch where you are, because where you are is holy. And he is making us holy through Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so that baptism of fire will burn off. It will. I love it when the author says that the seven flames of fire that comes upon us burns everything that keeps us from knowing the anointing and the anointed one. And it says the seven number represents completion, fullness, and consummation. And so as a result, it is the fire of the Holy Spirit that brings to an end, to a finish of anything that keeps us from knowing him. That's what that fire does. It brings it to an end. It burns it up. It consumes it. It no longer is. And that's why Christ said, it is finished. I've done away with it. It is finished. It brings it to an end. Anything that keeps us from knowing him. Knowing him is much more than just knowing about him. It is a place of divine union. So this is where the intimacy has brought union between us and God. We need to remove all hindrances so that we can say, just like Jesus, okay, it is finished. That life is finished. That thought process is finished. That reprobate mind is finished. That mind of confusion is finished. That mind of doubt is finished. That mind of unbelief, it's finished. It has been consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit as we receive that baptism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the throne proceeds lightning, thundering, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of the Lord. As for the baptism of fire and the flames of the seven spirits of God to burn away the hay, the wood, the stubble, and the straw in our life, God will purify and refine us. That is what he desires to do. The Holy Spirit will burn everything out of our life that is not gold and silver. And I love that because he says this gold and silver, the gold represents divine nature and the silver represents redemption. So if it's not the divine nature and it's not redemption, then it's got to be burnt up. Got to be burnt up. So we thank God for releasing this fire to us to free us from heavy burdens and uneasy yokes. And that is the process of my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it says, put on Christ. Christ and I. He didn't have the, I love that. He gave this analogy of he saw God looking to and fro on his throne. And when he saw his people, he smiled. And I was reminded of the priestly blessing that is put upon us. And this is part of the reason, but so that God will smile on you. And when he smiles on you, it says he sees, he smiles, and then he reaches within himself. And also says he tore off a piece of his mantle. He dipped oil in the torn piece, and then he released it. And when he got the understanding, he said, and then it rests on people. And they rested upon them, and it rested upon them, but then absorbed right into the person. That person then became an expression of that facet of Christ upon the earth. He did not have the mantle. They did not have the mantle on them. They became the expression of the mantle. There's revelation there that frees us where we can rest in his power and do the extraordinary and the supernatural, because we have become the expression of the very mantle of God. And then he shared the second vision as it relates to that mantle. He says it was a prophetic encounter, that the Lord standing with the most beautiful mantle that he'd ever seen. The essence of the beauty of the mantle was not the color or such, but how living and refreshing the mantle looked. It is almost impossible to put words to it. The closest he could get to describing it was like living water in the form of a cloth that draped across the Lord's outstretched arm. What a vision. He says, the Lord says, I am loosening my people. They will become who they are. The encounter was over, and as he prayed, the Lord gave him a revelation of that through Scripture. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophies and empty deceits, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. And right there is that part of the search for significance. Okay, we are complete in him, because remember, we have in this proximity, closeness of intimacy, we are unioned with him. We are one with him. And then the part that just is so powerful for us to understand that revelation is the fact that as we pray for those seven mountains, each one has a power and a principality. And we're told here he is the head of it. He is the head of it. And so we have that power. We are over those principalities through Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have the power over those principalities and powers in high places. So those places of influence are just a mere, as they call, walk in the park. Walk right through them, because where we walk becomes holy ground. And so I love that mantle encounter that he had. He says, we need to put on Christ. We need to get in Christ. It says the Lord's heart has to be in you. Has to be this heart is that we be loosed from all that has taken us captive and plundered us from living life in the anointed one and living the life of the anointed one and his anointing. He wants us to live in the fullness of all that's intended for us. And it was interesting because last night they had a class about religion and relationship. It was three things. I can't remember the third, but it's how tradition sometimes cheats us. It cheats us and it gets us captive and it causes us to, it takes away and causes the faith to not grow that we have, and it starts to pollute it to think that doing something is the thing itself, when which it isn't. The activity isn't the thing. It's the relationship that motivates the activity, which is the fear of the Lord, which is the love of Christ. And this is what will keep us from losing those things that have been given to us at the cross, the things that God Christ has already overcome. And so he says in this that this is how it becomes easy, because we're no longer looking to those philosophy of man. We're no longer listening to those vain sayings and teachings that come from the flesh. I'm just rushing through it, but it is so much in it. I do want to open it up for individuals that are also receive revelation just from this one chapter, which is just full of it, oh my God, to be able to share as well. So I'm going to open it up for dialogue and for conversation, you know, about the zeal of the Lord, about being one, about being in unity, you know, about the baptism of the fire and the fire of the love, the fire of the love and the baptism of the fire, and then putting on Christ and then having this zeal, this fire released within us that we are not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord, fervently living, fervently hot, full of burning zeal, that passionate love, that powerful love that burns within our bones, not just our souls, but our bones. That wheel inside of a wheel just won't let you not do what you were created to do and the Father would have you do. Dialogue?
Oh, over here, this is Apostle Casey. Yeah. That the fire of his love, that's what was quickened in me. And even in, you know, my candidly sharing that, the Lord told me that I was lukewarm. He said I was lukewarm because I had my checklist. I was going down a checklist, and I was doing the things of God, but it wasn't rooted in love. And so we have to, you know, make sure even that is what differentiates us from the world, or from the secular, or from our job. Mm-hmm. We go on our job. We do what we're supposed to do. We have our list of things to do for the day, and we do them. We do them. It's mechanically and in depth, you know, an innate ability in us that we do our job. Mm-hmm. But the differentiating fact between what we do in the secular world and what we do for Christ is rooted in love. Everything we do is rooted or should be rooted in love. And that's when the Lord began to kind of open up and begin to show me that I had gotten in a place where I was doing things of, oh, and then he just talks about how that fresh oil, that we have to be in a place of God daily, that we have to daily go and dip from that oil, and even how he brought out the sevenfold spirit, that sevenfold flame of God, you know. I just thank him and praise God that as we minister out of this flow, we can't depend on yesterday's anointing. And Apostle Shanette had always start out previously about that old move, that we were doing things from an old move of God, or we were doing things
mm-hmm.
based on what we knew, and that we hadn't gotten in his
mm-hmm.
presence for him to refresh it, for him to bring it to a freshness for that day, or to even the Holy Spirit to even enlighten us as to somebody else who may be in the room who need you to tweak it for them and for what they need, because they were coming to God for something in particular. And so we can't base it on, you know, what we've learned in the past or what we've studied in the past. That every day there is a fresh dipping, my God, a fresh dipping into that well, a fresh dipping, a freshness of his water. And so, yeah, not to become stagnant, you know, not to become stagnant where there's an impurity. And so this book, you know, even in God, I pulled out the book on this past Tuesday as I was at the church and was doing the COVID testing. And I pulled out the book and even pulled out the journal, the Sevenfold Spirit of God, and just begin to open that up and just, God, give me fresh revelation as I sit, as I read, you know, as you give me a download that I got this book, this journal that was given to us, and then the book, and to just reread and go back over, and then even highlighted the areas of the prayers, and so that even in my prayer time, you know, I can just go thumb through those tabs where I have the prayers and be prayed and sit before him so that he can begin to download afresh on me that day, every day. You know, when the Bible talks about the steps of a good man being ordered by the Lord, that I've gotten in his presence so that even before I move, even before I begin my day, those steps have been ordered, and that download of freshness of God has been downloading it to me, and that when I'm walking, I am literally dripping the oil and the anointing of God, you know, in everywhere I go. And so it's just such a fresh revelation. Yes. And so I thank him, you know, for what he's doing and the things that he's opened up to us for this sevenfold Spirit of God. Never knew it on this type of revelation, you know, and that even in our study of it, when I'm looking at it and when I'm standing before him, you know, I cannot have that spirit of criticism for other people, because I'm so busy trying to be before him in that fullness and in that freshness. I think that it diminishes us being critical of others, and going back to the scriptures that talks about that beam in our eyes, you know, we're not so critical of others, and that everything we do, even when we see that in people, because of the anointing that resonates on us, we're able to go to embrace and to just release into them, you know, what they need. And so, it's so much. It's such a power-packed book that one reading won't do. One reading of this book just won't do. It's something that we need to have in our library to reflect back on, to utilize, especially those prayers. Again, you know, Holy Spirit was like, tab those prayers, you know, so that when you're in your own prayer time, you can begin to go back to that book and pray for the spirit of knowledge, praying, you know, and sit under and get that spirit of wisdom and, you know, all of this sevenfold, that flame, so that it's fresh every day. It's fresh. And then, like you said, to even culminate, look at this. Look at how God has set this thing up. We've read this book, and then we're going to come to a culmination of Pentecost Sunday. Look at that. Oh, my God. How strategic he is. My God. How strategic he is, you know, even to culminate this as we're looking at it on Sunday.
Jesus.
So it's so much. It's so filled, so full, and it's so for us individually, that we don't have to look and yearn and desire what others have. Because when he goes back, when we look at the scripture that says, I, God, have no respect of persons, you know, that we don't have to want, desire, or covet what somebody else has, because God says, I have that very same gift from you if you would just get in my presence and allow me to give it to you. So it was so much. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love it, I love it. Anybody else? Jesus. You can just shout on this part at all. I'm telling you, because it really, and when you see how he's knitting it together, and as you were speaking, Apostle KP, I was very much reminded, I was to look through the prayers. And there was one I remember when we first had it, and I read it. It was just, it's so powerful. And then I when you were talking, it's like, that's it. You know, we don't remember everything, but he will bring things back to our remembrance. But that is something that gives us new oil, gives me new oil. It was releasing of how to teach and what you surrender yourself to. So you have those thoughts, but they're not burning thoughts. And the way they burn, like with a fire, the closer you get to the fire, the more you feel the heat. And so if I get to it every day, every morning, and I love the other part that's coming in the book where he says there's coming a justice and an anointing on the people so that their hands will drip with fresh oil. So they're just dripping off of our hands because we just been in the pot, okay? We have been in the lampshade. How is that? We'd have been in the river and it's just dripping. I'm just dripping wet. You know, I want to get dripping wet. Oh,
there's
Jesus.
A river. Hallelujah.
It's the patience of the power. And I know that it's when it's in your belly, if you will. And that one illustration he gave about the fire truck, I believe that. I want God to manifest like that to the people so that we then, you know what, it's like, that's it. That's it and that's all. And everything we do will be so focused on the Lord God Almighty that even armies will split apart to get out our way, and we'll walk through. Mountains will come down because it's that residue of that anointing, of that fire. It is burning away the anything that keeps us from walking in our destiny. And so when you say, I'm distracted, then Holy Spirit, burn up distraction because he will do it when we speak it and say it, then it shall come to pass. He's given us, he said, I loose the authority in you. And that's what he's done. And so this is a time of burning in celebration of the burning up of the flesh. And that's how we're anointed with this power of the Holy Spirit. So burn my flesh up. Burn my flesh up. Till I can't do nothing but talk in tongues. Because my tongue is like it used to. That my words will come out and they will be straight. They will be, they won't hear me. They'll hear God and they'll be in awe at what's coming out. Not at me, but at what is coming out because he will be being released like a gushing river, like a rapid just coming out of his people, and people will just be so refreshed. I love that imagery of that mantle on his arms. First of all, he said it's on his outstretched arms. So it's something that he is giving to us. He is handing it to us. And he said, don't let it get polluted. Don't let them steal from you. You know, don't give it up for false garbage. Don't spend your money on food that don't satisfy and on water that don't quench your thirst. When you have this and it flows under the anointing and the power of the anointed one and his power, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage everybody that, you know what, he has given us this. He's given us this great gift of his wisdom and of his knowledge, and he's given us an understanding of it so that our fear of him will grow. We will reverence him to a point we will not sacrifice. We treasure it more than the gold in all the world, more than all the fame, more than all of the acceptance of anything on this earth because of who he is and the position we're in with him. How would it look? We're standing next to the God of all glory, the creator of all universe, and then we're begging for an aunt to give us something. Absolutely not. We want the aunt to fight us. I don't care. You know, we're here with the God of glory. Who is man that I got to even consider anything other than his salvation being released from God to him so that he can stand where I stand? And so just understanding the power and having clarity of the revelation of the position that we have been privileged to rest in. And it is a rest, because once you do it, things don't upset you. You don't get frustrated about nothing. You don't get worried that they said this or he did that or they're going to shoot a bomb. Okay. You are resting and standing next to the God of glory. What are y'all going to do to me? And just like Stephen, you going to throw rocks at me? You doing me a favor. Now I will be in his presence forever, sitting down with him. Stuff we need to talk about, some stuff I want to do. Now you're releasing me so that I can do it. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with God. God, praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, let us worship. Let us celebrate the birth of all our distractions.
Hallelujah.
Celebrate burning up all our distractions.
Thank you,
God. Thank you, God. When you see him coming, say, burn him up, Holy Spirit. All he wants to do, he waiting for us to speak. Because when we speak, the angels will be put on task, and they will do it. Christ said, God told him, go down there and take care of that. Go down there and take care of that for my son. Go down there and take care of that for my daughter. And if you got to fight to get there, fight to get there, but don't stop till you get there. And because they know you're coming, because they ask me. And I've already told them, if you ask me, I will. And so what is it? It is so, and so it is. It is written in heaven.
Yes. Hallelujah.
it's going to be out. It's going to be hanging. That at the end of a string, they have a rock. And if it don't line up with the plumb line, then he tells us to tear it down and do it again. So it won't go up till it goes up correctly. It goes up according to not tradition, but according to the word of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then gives us the mindset that must be in our heart and in our very spirit, which is why he said you'll look with new eyes, because the stuff that distracted you then burn up. That's gone. That's gone. Mm-hmm. Now you'll see clearly. It's like getting a brand new pair of glasses with a new prescription. And you look, you go, ooh, look at that. You'll see it how it's supposed to be. Hallelujah, oh, Jesus. So we are going to finish that chapter next week and start our conquering in a dimension that we've never been in before. And that's the thing. We've never been this way before. But we can be assured. We are prepared to not just go forth, but to go forth and conquer with joy and rejoicing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else want to share?
Oh, God.
I don't have conversation.
Good morning, Dialogue. Here. I just want.
Yes.
No, I just wanted to say, you know, as I was enjoying the book, I hadn't thought about the fact that it culminates with Pentecost. That is something in and of itself. And I wanted to thank Apostle because I never thought about tabbing the prayers and going back and praying the prayers. It just never occurred to me. But that could be a very good resource, you know, for those individual things, or even maybe just journaling something about the prayers. I'm not much of a journaler. I'm trying to get into the journaling world. That's not my first thing, but it does help. As I get older, I see how many things I forget or come across things that how you write things down, and because there's no organization with where they are, I'm finding a scrap of paper in a book or in a bag, and thinking like, when did I write all this stuff down? I can't even honestly remember writing it down, but it's in my handwriting. And it might be a page of notes. But, I think that, it's just a matter of just trying to be more organized and disciplined, in what we do. But that was all. I don't have anything.
Amen. That's a lot. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? All right. So we are going to continue our worship as it is our work and it is our love for him in everything we do, whether we're cooking, cleaning, resting, or running, or driving, or shopping, or what it is. So, on the phone, can you imagine, can you imagine your conversation changing when you start talking on the phone to people and you start hearing some, or that don't have nothing to do with God. So it don't have to be bad. That don't have nothing to do with God. So I can't spend my time on that.
You have a lot fewer conversations.
And that's fine. You know what? But you know what? What the conversations you will have be meaningful, and they'll be purposeful.
Yes.
And and I understand you're absolutely right. But sometimes we need some of that off our life so we can just talk to him then. Because oh my God, I get this. That in itself, just that if you're looking at a movie or looking at TV, and that is not of God. You gotta go, turn it down or turn it off or whatever. But just making conscious, intentional choices to choose holiness, to choose that which will bring honor and true glory to God. We looked up what glory meant We understand what honoring is, and we understand a passionate love. And it's just like, mm-hmm. you're not going to talk to somebody that don't want to talk about the love of your life or the thing that you love. You're not going to talk about it. So just changing our mindset in the little things, not big, grand, just little, one conversation that says, just one, that you could release an atmosphere of power. And if that atmosphere of power comes from a spirit of repentance, then to God be the glory. You know, and let us repent. That's it. Because Holy Spirit going to burn up what ain't like, that's our distraction. So whatever they are, you're going to burn them up, but he's going to show them to us first. So we're going to see them and really see how ugly or how insignificant they are and how much we gave ourselves to them. How much of our energy, how much of our strength, how much of our thoughts, how much of our money, how much of our resources. So I am excited about the new you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Be blessed.
Overseer.
Yes.
You know, I sometimes I think we have these multiple calls and stuff, and it seems like I get like three conversations running around in my head. And I know this wasn't from this call, but pretty much most of the people on this call was on that call. But there was a scripture that was read on yesterday, and it's Romans 12, out of the Message. And I don't have that in front of me, but one of the things that it talks about, which is to me in line with what you're saying right now, and this is certainly a paraphrase, but it talks about the whole idea of us giving ourselves over, you know, submitting ourselves to God's word. And it says something about your everyday life, your everyday run-of-the-mill, uh-huh. walking down the street, going to bed, getting up, eating dinner. You know, it uses yeah. it in such a real familiar kind of terms. And like I said, if somebody would, you know, it might help to read that, you know, at your leisure. But it's Romans 12:1. Prophet read it yesterday in the Message. And it made me think about when we think about, when you talked about those, that one conversation if you change, when we think about those grand things, I think that stifles us sometimes because it seems like such a big thing. But I am reminded of the one thing that most of us still hold true to in our rituals and in our daily time with God, which is table graces. Most people remember to bless what they eat and have no problems with doing that in public, at least just bowing their heads for a second or two, you know, and giving thanks to God for what they're eating. And I think about if we would have that same type of training, that's the wrong word, but, you know, that same type of commitment to everything that we do, like we do it with our table graces, this, the whole idea of what we were trained to do, what happened at home, what we learned to do. And that was one of the things, I mean, I find myself that, you know, sometimes I'll start, and then they'll be like, oh, man, I forgot to say my grace, you know. Yeah. But I don't say that if I'm cussing. I don't say, oh, man, I forgot to bitter, yeah. you know, bitter and sweet can't come out of the same fountain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Amen.
I don't know if you understand what I mean on that, but I'm just saying it's such an ingrained
yeah.
thing that even when I miss it, I catch myself and be thinking like, okay, let me swallow that. Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I should have thanked you for the food that you blessed.
Yes.
Da, 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 da. But there are so many other things that are so much greater than, well, you know, and you understand how I'm saying that, greater significance to the body of Christ that I don't give it a second thought one way or the other. And I was just convicted that with that same diligence that we do our table graces, he wants us to have not only that same intimate and concern and consistency with all of the things before we do them. And I'm like, okay, that's going to be an uphill battle. But, you know that it can be done because most people do that habitually by rote. You know, I don't, you know, in saying that, thank you for that. So
that was just
an observation.
Okay, I have scripture. I will read it in the message.
Oh, good.
It says, So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. He'll be changed. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. That's Romans 12:1-2. Perfect ending.
Right, but do you understand where I was going with that?
Yes.
I know it sounds rambly in my head when he read it, because
no,
I've read that before, and it's like, oh, man, that scripture is so convicting. You know,
absolutely.
You know, and I thought about those table graces. It's like, what area am I consistent? Table graces. Well, that's not a big feather in my cap. But, you know, I'm just saying.
But
it's like I said, it's just an observation.
But the thing about that is, go back to table grace. Why do you do it? Where did you learn from? Why is it a way of your life? Someone put that in you that you revered, and you were scared of them, you better do it. Or you love them and you want to please them. Or you come to understand, okay, the food out of here, God got a blessing. Because first of all, you don't know what's in it. You don't know who picked it, how it comes, whether even in the ground, what they did to the dirt. So your blessing of your food takes on stages and levels of development as you get more understanding about your relationship with God. So originally it may have been because, you know, my mama told me. Okay? So I did it. But because you were obedient, remember, from faith comes obedience. From obedience comes faith. Because you obeyed it, then you got a faith in the fact, oh, I want my food blessed. I need God to bless my food. And so it's that thing that develops. And so that's what I'm saying. The one thing we do, we need to look at, okay, so how was that established? Because that's the pattern. That's the pattern to look at for how we're to establish the next thing. You know, and it is the fear of the Lord, the understanding from the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's love. Okay, so it's all of those things. And so those are the things we have to focus on, allowing him to develop in us so that we can be transformed into this creature that looks more like Christ. So that was a wonderful example. It wasn't Babylon.
Yeah.
It is great. I am so reminded of Timothy, because that's what he was taught from a baby. So I don't care what it is. If this is a candy bar, he's going to bless it. And if he doesn't, he tells God, he prays, he repents. He said, God, please forgive me. I had 3 bites of that and maybe 1 bite of that, and I hadn't prayed yet. You know, so he goes through this whole thing, and we at the table like, come on, boy. So but he's got to go through all of this. I don't care if you're eating in the car. I don't care where you are. It don't matter. Okay. And so I think that is a very, very excellent illustration. And then I'm convicted. Because it's like, now what else have we insisted on in his life, like he did paying the blessing, that he is embracing without compromise? And with the understanding, it's because this is the way God wants you to do this. You know, and in what area have we not done that, that we should have did that? So that little boy's life is about to change, but it isn't right. He'll be the better for it. Okay. So thank you.
Thank you. Powerful teaching.
Amen.
All right. Anything else? Anyone else? You do have chance opportunity. We always go over song. Okay. All right. Thank you all for sharing powerful, powerful insight and just the presence of us coming together. And it's more than two or three. So truly, 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 he's in the midst. And he is going to establish what the Lord desired to establish in our life through this study. So I am grateful. I am more than grateful. I am really excited. So enjoy, embrace, and know the ministry of Holy Spirit. All right.
Yes.
All amen. Right.
Amen.
And bless the, and enjoy this heat. All y'all wanted it, not yet. Okay? Don't be telling me, oh, it's too hot. I don't care. That's what y'all want. You got it. Okay?
All right. All right. Hey, bye-bye. Yes, indeed.
Yes, yes, yes.